Hello and welcome to On the Corner, the official podcast of PitchList.com. I'm your host, Eric Smolski, joined by Nick Pollock, as we continue our quest to help you make the best starting pitching decisions possible for this weekend and next week. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I went to Citi Field the day after you did.
Yes.
And
I saw a win. Yeah. You also saw a win.
I did too. Yeah. But I got to see Pablo Lopez and hang out with him in the dugout for an hour. Oh, yeah. And it was the best time. So
I got to talk to Joe Ryan.
What did you do, Eric?
I talked to Joe Ryan.
Oh.
He was very generous with his time because he was running out to the field. But I had just some general questions about, like, his opinion as a veteran on why the walk rate in baseball is the highest it's been since 1950. And if it was seams on the ball or if it was all ABS and stuff like that. And so he gave some thoughts on that that I thought were useful. And then I chatted with Byron Buxton, and I just have to say, like, what a great dude. Like, what an awesome, awesome dude. Like, not only just very generous with his time, but, like, not putting up a front, like, just a very down-to-earth guy who, like, gives you who he is when he's chatting with you and, like, was very open about, we were talking about, like, just chase rate in general for hitters. And if you can actually, like, meaningfully chase less as you age in your career, because data says you can't. And he just, was really, really great to talk to. And obviously it's, like, a very easy to root for the success of somebody like that. So
absolutely.
Yeah, kudos to him.
I think the biggest takeaway for me was just how tall Billy Ober is. It struck me, man. I'm 6'4", and it got me.
He wasn't in the locker room when I was in there, but I can imagine.
No, I mean, Pablo's the best, and I'll tell you guys more about that conversation and just really things in general. But there was a lot of fun talk about. Here, I'll leave it this with you. We're not going to talk about it now, but listeners, would you rather throw the right pitch in a wrong location, or would you rather throw the right location with the wrong pitch? Think about that. We'll discuss. It's a very interesting conversation we talked about for a while, but we got to talk about starters today.
Yeah,
tomorrow,
we got to talk about
next week. We're a day late. My apologies, everyone. We had to push this one back, but we're going to make sure that we get this one out Friday afternoon, so we have these Friday starts for you.
Yeah. So we're still going to go over the starts for this weekend and next week. We're going to try our best to only talk about the guys who are on the fringe, just so we can make it as actionable for you as possible. And that starts with the Baltimore Orioles, who have three against the Red Sox this weekend, and then they have three at home against Houston next week, and then three on the road against the Yankees with a wraparound on Monday. Brandon Young is now in the rotation because Dean Kramer is on the IL. How interested are you in general in Brandon Young? Because his first start was pretty good. He would get Boston this weekend and Houston next week. So, like, two teams that aren't really performing up to expectations, but feel like maybe that's not where you want to be starting Brandon Young.
Yeah, I don't. He is kind of interesting. And he didn't pitch terribly last time out. It's a risk. It's one of those I don't really want to take with Brandon Young. Maybe he does have that good four seamer. Maybe he does have that good secondary stuff to pair with it and spotted well. But I feel like it needs to be a certain way for it all to work, and it just doesn't seem like it has enough of a ceiling for me to chase.
Yeah, I would say just keep an eye on it, because if he, you know, we don't know how long Dean Kramer's out for, but after Houston, he, if he remains in the rotation, he's set up to be at Miami, and that's interesting. Hey, Cashew. So keep an eye on that. And then I'll just say, like, I wrote about this, and I will continue to write about it. When I did an article on hitters and pitchers I'm not dropping, and Shane Baz was on that list, and a lot of people have asked me if they should drop Shane Baz.
And I
get that it hasn't been what you expected. I still believe, I think he might be a low fours ERA pitcher, not like a, like he might have like a 405 ERA or something like that. I don't know that he's gonna be like a 3.6 type of dude, but I think that, you know, he's going to the cutter a little bit more. I think the cutter was a new pitch for him last year. I kind of like it. The changeup hasn't been commanded well for him this year, but he has done that in the past. So I just think they are fixes for him that are relatively easy for him to be usable in 12-team leagues, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of fringe guys at the moment. I mean, we've had such a fun week, and it's going to be one heck of a fab weekend for TGFBI and all your weekly leagues. It's really tough to discern. Okay, is it Tolley? Is it Prelip? Is it one of DDA and Jer Ritchie? Walbert Urania probably is going to get more attention as well. There's Christian Scott. There's Peter Lambert. There's so many. And in your 12-teamer, I would rather take chances on the guys who are doing well right now than waiting for someone to click.
Sure.
Right. I think that's because we have so many of these options. What's going to happen is that, all right, the guys that get dropped for these, not all of them are going to be worthy of being dropped, and then you'd pick them up. So the cycle will continue. And I can't sit here and tell you that Shane Baz is going to have his old four-seamer, that he's going to have the cutter be the thing that needs to be. It can be just very pedestrian, very Toby-ish. And I don't know if I necessarily want that. So I think it's about what is available in your league. In a 12-teamer, I could very well see myself dropping Baz.
Yep, I get that. Moving on to the Red Sox. We have three at Baltimore, three at Toronto next week, and then three home against the Astros. We've already kind of talked about Brian Bello a lot. He's not pitching particularly well, and I probably wouldn't be streaming him, but he may emerge as a in deeper formats later. The big name here is obviously Peyton Tolley, who looked great against the Yankees on Thursday. Listen, they don't think Sonny Gray is going to be out long. If Peyton Tolley pitches like this, I just don't understand how you send him back to AAA. I am also of the mind that, like, I don't see them sending Brian Bello down to AAA because he's 26 years old. He's signed to a long-term deal. He's been at least a league average starting pitcher for basically the last 3 years. Now, could they demote somebody to the bullpen for a little bit? Could they go to a six-man rotation for a little bit? Those are all possibilities. When you're putting your bids in for Peyton Tolley, just acknowledge that the runway isn't as clear as we would want it to be. But if he keeps pitching like this, it's hard to see them saying, hey, you got to go back down.
Yeah, I would think, honestly, what's going to happen is if they are all healthy and everyone's good and there's no wiggle room, I mean, sure, there's always an opportunity for a six-man rotation and just seeing what breaks. But it could just be Tolley in a long relief role. Something goes wrong in a start with Bello quickly, and Tolley comes right on in. You know, he's already had experience in the pen after all, right? They keep him stretched out. I would think that that's what the Red Sox would do. Maybe if Sonny Gray doesn't get a rehab start in between, then they're going to shorten him in his first one. All of a sudden he goes 4 or 5 innings or so, and then Tolley comes in after.
Yeah.
Right. When it comes to Peyton Tolley, I just did a video on him this about like 10 minutes before we started recording. So it should be up at some point this weekend. And my takeaway from that start, if you want to read the roundup, you have it already, is yeah, this was a top 20 starting pitcher we just saw. But are we going to see that same pitcher again? Right. Because he threw a lot of four seamers for strikes. I don't like his sinker to right-handers. He shouldn't be throwing that as much in my opinion.
But it is a nice new addition for lefties, for sure.
It is, but he allowed a hit to Rosario, for example, on that sinker. I'm just like, why would you do that? And then you are not seeing quite the command I want on the secondaries yet, the trust in it.
The curve got tons of whiffs, but it was all over the place.
Yeah, and the changeup to Stanton was awesome, but like, are we going to see that often?
But we've talked about that a bunch with him. Like, the secondaries are a work in progress. The four-seamer is great. The cutter is nice. And it's just about, can the secondaries be consistent enough that he, you know, doesn't have to rely on the fastball as much or throw the sinker to righties as much, things like that.
Right, or just locate the four-seamer as well as he did yesterday. I mean, that's all you need to do, too. So I'm curious what we get from Tolley. I think he's a must-add, obviously, but it's don't think that you're going to get this every time right now.
I don't really think there's anybody to talk about in the Yankees. We've talked about them a lot.
I'm not interested in him.
Three at Texas and then three at home against Baltimore. Ryan Weathers should be back from the paternity list this weekend. So it's more just like, has anything changed for you with Luis Gil?
No. I mean, he had a good start, but I don't trust it.
Yeah. And listen, Gerrit Cole is up to 52 pitches, and they said that Carlos Rodon is going to be back before Gerrit Cole. So if Gerrit Cole is up to 52 pitches, he probably has two more rehab starts, would be my guess. Maybe three if they just want to be cautious. And so Rodon probably like 2 weeks away also. So you're just looking at like, you know, it's Luis Gil at Houston And then maybe that's it. Like or at Houston and then versus Baltimore is the question mark depending on when Rodon comes back. I just don't think it's worth chasing.
Right.
Moving on to Tampa Bay, they get three at home against Minnesota, three on the road at Cleveland, and then three at home against the Giants. Where are you on Jesse Schultens? A lot of people are comping him to Zach Littell. And that works.
Okay, sure. But I mean, I think Schultens is a better sinker than Littell, for example. But they're thinking of him like that because it's a Rays guy who doesn't seem like an interesting one who could be for sure stuff. I don't think he's as bad as he was in his last outing. I mean, he allowed like two home runs and that was really it. But I'm not going after a 12-teamer. I could see this in your daily transaction 15-teamers or 14 where you're trying to vulture a win. I think the Rays will continue to try and use an opener every so often. It might be one of those that we've seen before of every other game is an opener. So keep them on your radar, but I mean, it's the Giants next. Like maybe that works, you know, it's just not something I'm targeting.
Is Nick Martinez pitching his way onto your radar? No. It was a really good last performance. Then he goes at Cleveland, which is like a decent streaming start.
Yeah, I mean, the changeup would work, right? Because that's his main
pitch. They're going to go all lefties.
Against Guardians. But Nick Martinez isn't always as consistent as you want. With his changeup, which is very frustrating. So I don't like trusting Nick Martinez if I can avoid it.
Fair. People are going to ask about two start weeks. Next week, Steven Matz is set up for a two start at Cleveland, home against San Francisco. I kind of like that. We know that the Guardians are going to run out a bunch of righties against Matz. The Guardians righties are their bench guys who they are putting into the lineup just because a lefty is in there. And Matz's changeup has been more of a focus for him this year. So I kind of dig that as a two start for Matz.
Yeah, I mean, for Steven Matz, yeah, Cleveland should work. Giants should work. That's fine. After that, it gets a little bit trickier if he does happen to get the Red Sox and Fenway. And just really understand that Matz is a streaming option. Yes. And less of a, like, oh, maybe if this still keeps working, we're going to roll with it. I don't think so.
Agreed. Moving on to Toronto, three at home against the Guardians, three at home against Boston, four on the road at Minnesota. Really the only thing to note here, because I don't think we're starting Scherzer or Patrick Corbin or Eric Lauer. Yesavage should be back next week. We should note, and if you follow, all the Roto-World blurbs, I've been blurbing all of his rehab starts. He hasn't looked that good on his rehab starts. And so even though you're going to look at Minnesota and say, hey, that's a pretty nice landing spot, my personal preference is to wait. I don't think he's had a lot of command issues in his rehab starts. I think you could get a short and messy outing his first time out.
Yeah. I mean, I think I agree with that one completely. It's still ill for you, Savage. And then we see where we are.
And are you avoiding Scherzer, Lauer, Corbin, all those guys? You're out.
I'm really surprised that Corbin is expected to leave the rotation at this point because I think he's a better option than Lauer personally. And Lauer has more bullpen experience.
I think that I know the projection is that Corbin's going to leave. I think, first of all, I guess it depends what happens when they both get a start against Boston Monday and Tuesday. Oh, yeah,
sure.
But I think Lauer has been a multi-inning relief guy for them in the past, and it makes the most sense to just move him back into that role.
I agree with that. So that means that all of a sudden, Patrick Corbin, who could go at Minnesota next week, it's not what I would go for. But Corbin can pull out a 5+ inning game still. Yeah. He's got the cutter that he's learned. He's got a changeup now. It's like it's all different than it used to be, just a sinker and slider from before.
We should acknowledge that the Blue Jays talked about limiting Yesavage's innings throughout the year. I think they're still going to do that, even though he missed a month. And so there still might be some Eric Lauer 3-inning piggybacks behind a 4 or 5-inning performance from Trey Yesavage, into the middle of May. So just keep an eye on that kind of stuff. Moving on to the Chicago White Sox, they have 3 at home against Washington, 3 at home against the Angels next week, and then 3 on the road at the Padres. Everybody picked up Noah Schultz already. I assume we feel pretty good about starting him on Saturday, and then, you know, we'll go from there. You didn't spend what you spent to pick him up to sit him on the bench against the Nationals. If you did, why did you add him? And then how do you feel about, I'm getting a lot of questions about Davis Martin. A lot of like, do you believe in Davis Martin now? And he is set to face the Angels next week. So what do you think about Davis Martin? And would you take that start?
It's a Vargas rule. I have him as questionable. And Davis Martin is, when it comes to a Vargas rule, how does that work? It's usually guys who are command focused and are in a rhythm. And it means that, okay, cool, you can put your pitches down away, avoid the heart of the plate. You can go inside when needed. Martin's doing a fine job of it right now. And what we often see with this is he puts himself in gives himself an opportunity to succeed, right? Baseball does what baseball does. And hopefully it keeps going that way. And this is what a Vargas rule ultimately is. Don't be banking on this panning out well for a long time. At this point, all right, keep going if you want. I have it at questionable because I could see it go either way.
Where are you on your boy Anthony Kay and on Sean Burke? Are you in on either of those guys?
I can't. I mean, Anthony Kay, as much as like I see it, it's so close. It's also, you haven't done it. You haven't actually lived inside the zone as opposed to right outside of it yet.
Yeah.
And until we see that, then I can't. With Burke, it's 96 or bust, and he's not there anymore.
Moving on to the Cleveland Guardians, 3 at Toronto to end this week, 3 at home against Tampa Bay, 3 at Sacramento. That's important. It's Parker Messick next week. It's a 2-start Tampa Bay at the Athletics. I would probably still do that because I think the Tampa Bay start is good enough. And I think Parker Messick is good enough. I don't love Joey Cantillo in Sacramento next week, and I certainly don't love Slade Ciccone in Sacramento next week, so I would be avoiding those. I'm curious your thoughts on Tanner Bibee. He looked pretty good his last outing. I noticed in the great data set that you have provided me that you built for yourself that I can all also access, in the last start, his curveball was 2 miles per hour slower. It had a little more shape, and he commanded it like way better. Like he got tons of called strikes on it.
Yeah.
He went to the changeup a lot more versus righties than he has in the past. And so he's going like fastball, changeup, sinker to righties. And that isn't like, if you look at the pitch plot, which you had in the data that you've built, like, that may not lead to lots of whiffs, but it may keep hitters off the barrel a lot. The fastball sinker changeup combo to righties. He located the cutter well. I'm keeping an eye on the curveball change to see if it's something that is a one start blip or something that's more than that.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know. Tanner Bibee. Like Tanner Bibee is not having not featuring the same vert on that four seamer. That was the biggest thing for me. It's like that was what made me excited initially. But maybe this is different. But I can't. I think it's just gonna be a hipster the entire year.
I get it.
Sounds good. I feel like it was a feel for that day.
You know? It could be. It could very well have been. Yeah. Detroit. They are 3 at Cincinnati this weekend, 3 at Atlanta next week, and then 3 home against Texas. I gotta say, I am putting out an article. This was connected to the thing that I talked about. What?
Don't do it. No. Don't do Montero. Do not do Montero.
No, this is... I'm intrigued enough by Montero. Okay. I'm not going to start him in Cincinnati, but I think he looks better this year, but I'm not... That's not it.
Okay,
good. In talking to Joe Ryan and some of the other pitchers about the walk rate, a lot of the pitchers seem to feel like it's connected to ABS for a lot of different ways. The strike zone is different. They believe that pitchers are certainly in their heads a little more, including pitchers who like to hit the edges, that like that kind of mental thing of like, you know, is this going to be a strike? Is it not? Like that pitchers are going to need to take some time to adjust to this. The sense that I got is the walk rates are probably going to be high through the majority of the year. It's going to take pitchers a while to really recalibrate. And so I made a little leaderboard and I looked at pitchers who have a really high walk rate right now, higher than league average. but either have a really low BABIP, a really low homer to fly ball rate, or a really high left on base rate, as like, who are pitchers that are walking a lot of guys but aren't getting hurt by that right now, mm-hmm. but will probably get hurt by that coming up. Casey Mize appeared on like everything.
Yeah.
The walk rate is only a little bit higher than average, but like an 84% left on base rate, a 0.06% homer to fly ball rate, like that stuff is going to come back around. And so I know that Casey Mize right now has like a 2.5 ERA. I don't see it. I really don't see it. I can't trust it.
So what's really interesting to me is the strikeouts. Last time out, he had 7 strikeouts with a 44% put away rate, which is just that is absurdly high, incredibly efficient. And I mean, he's been essentially living at 93 this year as well, as opposed to 94, 95. I do like the slider more
sure.
for Casey Mize. I like that he's relying on it more and it's become more of a strike pitch for him. He has a 47% CSW on 100 thrown rate so far. And that's what he's needed badly. It's not, it doesn't speak to a 27% strikeout rate. You know, it doesn't speak to 2.5 ERA and everything. I think it's overperformance at the moment. It is 4 out of 5 games of 100 runner fewer. And that's pretty cool. Against Arizona, I maybe am too harsh on it because maybe there is something in the water with the slider being a big difference maker for him. And then I see him against Atlanta, not Arizona. I was just thinking about down the road. It's questionable for me. I feel like we're not going to see that strikeout rate. So it's more like a 20% or so. And hopefully it's a good enough ratios to go with it.
Yeah. Also on that list, Jack Flaherty, who has an 18.5% walk rate right now and a 0.03% homer to fly ball rate. And it's the Sierra is ridiculously higher than the ERA. Just don't do that. Ignore that. Totally. Kansas City. 3 against the Angels this weekend, 3 at Sacramento next week, and 3 at Seattle. Waka and Cameron are like those fringe streamers, but they are at Sacramento next week. And so personally, I wouldn't start either of those guys in Sacramento. Would you start Cameron against the Angels? Where are you at, Cameron?
Yeah, he was at 94.5 last time.
Okay.
94. I know he got destroyed and all the blah, blah, blah. 94.5, that velocity is not normal for Cameron. It wasn't like he had it and then got gassed or used it because it was tough. It was there. So I'm actually kind of interested now because he's always been a command guy. Hasn't really gone his way thus far. He's had some weird conditions too in games like super rainy or whatever. I think this is going to be good for Cameron. And I think we're going to be back on that train personally. With Seth Lugo, I should be higher than the question I have listed right now because he's been so good. And I don't think you'll find anyone who's not starting Lugo with the Angels, even though I'm going to say, hey, it's not the same kind of upside as an ace.
Sure.
And Waka is a Vargas rule. And I think I might even have him as a probable Ooh. Because even the last start was really just the last frame with inherited runners too. And he was great before it. So he's been kind of feeling his entire arsenal. It's wild. One of the sneaky good guys right now is Michael Waka.
Lugo also appears in this list that I created. He has an 83% left on base rate, which is 12% over the league average, and a 0% homer to fly ball rate. So that kind of stuff will correct a little bit. We're going to talk about a pitcher that I know Nick and I are both really excited about, but we're going to do that after this break. We're moving on to the Twins. They have 3 at Tampa Bay. They have 3 at home against Seattle next week, and then 4 at home against Toronto next week. I saw Connor Prelip at Citi Field, and I was like, hey, this dude is pretty good. And then I saw that you posted a video breaking down the start, and you were also like, hey, this dude is pretty good. And so I saw 96 mile an hour fastball with really good vert and poor extension. But as we've talked about before, that's like 2 of 3 things we really like. And so that's still solid. It's not great, but it's still solid. A slider that he will throw willingly to both righties and lefties and is a very good pitch, and like got like really ugly swings and misses from righties. Like even when Francisco Lindor moved around, like it was just really ugly swings and misses. And then a curve, which is a new pitch for him. And I didn't know that he added the curve this year. It had moments where it looked good, had moments where it didn't, but I think that's the nature of a new pitch. Like it will come and go. And so there's a true five pitch mix here that I think will continue to, you know, get more consistent as he gets more innings. But he was the Twins minor league pitcher of the year last year for a reason. He's a really good command lefty with a solid arsenal of pitches. And I think he could stick.
I think he's phenomenal. I mean, I remember I talked to, you know, on the craft on Wednesday before the debut and everything. And I'm saying like, kind of, like even in the list, you saw I had kind of Prelip above every other prospect this week. As my number one guy to get, because he's an elite swatch. You didn't mention the changeup that he didn't really throw to righties.
Yeah,
he didn't actually have a good feel for it. It was under 50% strikes.
Yeah, the command of it was off, and I think he knew that early and went away.
And then pivoted, and it was one of the best Blake Snell blueprints I've seen from a lefty to a righty all year when it comes to four-seamer slider. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of this. I think he's going to flourish in Minnesota. But what happens? Well, Mick Abel, it's not encouraging at the moment, from my understanding. So I think Prelip is here to stay, honestly. Also, and I don't think that they'll replace him with Abel and not consider maybe SWR going
right.
Simeon Richardson, that is. So I'm really in on Prelip. I am still in on Prelip more than Tolley, believe it or not. Because I think that Prelip is just a safer play than Tolley is.
I understand that logic. Moving on to the AL West, we're going to try and continue to speed through. We took a lot of time with some of these early teams. The Athletics get three at Texas, three home against the Royals, and then three home against Cleveland. So all of their games are in Sacramento next week. That's really important. It makes it hard to start some of the fringier guys. How do you feel about JT Ginn at Texas, home against Cleveland?
At Texas, I'm all right with. I don't really love it against Cleveland, but then again, it is Cleveland, but it's Sacramento, you know? It's
right.
Really hard starting a guy like that in Sacramento. But I do like the Texas one. I think that's fine. So if you have a two-step, you don't because he's pitching Sunday. Haha, funny thing. It is Jacob Lopez getting the two-step next week, Kansas City and Cleveland, yeah, but both at Sacramento. And he's just not doing the caper walk stuff that we want, so he's a not start for me.
You know who else gets a two-step next week? For the Astros, it's Peter Lambert.
They get
three home against the Yankees this weekend, three at Baltimore next week, and then three at Boston. I kind of was digging what Peter Lambert was doing this week. I know that the second start wasn't as good as the first start. The command wasn't as pristine, but you're getting a lot of fastballs up in the zone. You're getting some changeups low in the zone. The cutter looks decent. Looks great. So I was like, listen, I've seen weirder things happen than the Astros turn a guy like Peter Lambert, who didn't really look good in Colorado, and turn him into like a pretty consistent streaming option. I'm not going so far as to be like, get him in all leagues. But like a two-start at Baltimore at a struggling Boston Red Sox team is like, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, no. So Peter Lambert, after his first game, it was, I think, 23 whiffs and a 40% CSW, got a golden goal. And I just go, what? And I look at it and I go, this is incredible. This was Blake Snell blueprint, four seamers up and changeups down beautifully to all the lefties, he thought. And then the secondaries to right, he's not as good. And that was really the bigger concern. But then I saw, all right, who's he going against next? Oh, it's Cleveland? And I circled it. I was like, I made it my stream pick of the day, 0% rostered. I was like, all right, this is it. I'm in. And of course, Peelby had to have Nick Martinez's 8-inning game, whatever. But I was so thrilled by it. And I loved that the slider and the cutter were introduced against lefties, because this was a game where the four-seamer wasn't getting as high up, but the cutter was masking it super well. And he was going backdoor with it, kind of doing the Cannibal McSanchez approach, while the slider actually staying in its quadrant was another option as well. So what I see is this is a good pitcher. I don't know how good And I am worried a little bit when he does get more of an even mix of righties and lefties. Then again, that's when he soared. So maybe there is something there that I'm not quite seeing yet just from sample. But Peter Lambert was a Colorado pitcher in 24 and then got Tommy John. And he's throwing a tick harder now as well. And the Astros, oh my gosh, they need something. They need Peter Lambert.
They need something bad.
So if he's pitching well and you're saying, well, what about this guy coming back? That guy does not matter.
No.
Okay. They're going to keep Peter Lambert in there if that's the case. So I have him as a probable against the Orioles. I feel like this is the this is one of those cases where I haven't pushed up a little bit more than I normally would because it could be the launching pad of confidence. Right. So I think it's in your best interest to grab him for that start against Baltimore. See how that goes, and then you can assess his success against the Red Sox, right? If you want to do that. Two-step, I would go for it. I would chance it. We could be forgetting or moving past Lambert pretty quickly, but I would absolutely give it a shot.
Yeah, and then just a note, we both talked about this last week that, like, Spencer Arrighetti, you know, when the curveball is on, he's great, and when the curveball is not on, he's less good, and we saw that in the second start. Against the Guardians, he had four walks. The curveball didn't really get a lot of whiffs. And so just he's going to be inconsistent. I know he was a huge ad in leagues because people are desperate for starting pitching. He's just going to be inconsistent, and you're not really going to know. It's not a matchup thing. It's a feel of the curveball thing, and that makes it difficult.
I will say it is a little bit of a matchup thing to give you some higher floor at the very least. Like, his schedule is so bad right now.
Not good.
That Yankees, I can't Red encourage Sox,
Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers? Yeah. Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, the next three for Arrighetti. Yeah. Not great. No. Moving on to the Angels. They get three at Kansas City, three at the Chicago White Sox, and then three home against the Mets. Next week, Jack Kochanowicz is set up for a two-step at the Chicago White Sox and then home against the Mets. I know Soto is back. Lindor is going to be out. I kind of like that two-step for Kochanowicz. We've talked about the changes he's made. And so I think, you know, I could see taking that two-start week for him. I'm very curious your thoughts on Walbert Urania because we didn't get a chance to talk about him after he started last weekend. And I thought it looked pretty good. Changeup that's 93, and I think 5 years ago we would have called it a splitter because, you know, it's like 93 and has very sharp downward movement, but it's a nasty pitch. And he will throw it to righties and lefties. It missed bats this first start to righties and lefties. I'm not looking at it like, oh my god, this guy is incredible. Like, you know, the four seamer was fine. The sinker is pretty good and the changeup was good. And it's a mix that I could see working.
Well, I mean, no wonder you like him. His easiest comp is Edward Cabrera. But anyway,
I have some Edward Cabrera thoughts right now, but
we're going to share that one later. But with Urania, yeah, he throws hard. It's an empty velocity four seamer. What is interesting is that the changeup and the sinker have the same movement profile, the same. But I've made this mistake before, and I think I did this when I first discussed Urania, and I realized that I was missing the fact that it's the same relative movement, but it's taking away gravity, and when you throw softer, it is going to be dropping more. But it's just the same relative look to the batter, right? So that's
why it works against righties, and not just it works against lefties.
It moves differently, but it's 4 miles per hour difference, all that kind of stuff. I don't know if I like his secondaries enough or outside the changeup. That is the breaking stuff, I should say. And the four seamer is really bad movement. So this is something that is a sinker changeup focused to righties. Hopefully the four seamer is good enough with the changeup underneath to lefties. And I think it's interesting enough to go after him against the Royals and the Mets on Friday next week.
I will say kudos to Mike Maddux, pitching coach of the Angels. I had some prep work to do for Sunday Night Baseball since we have the Royals and the Angels on NBC and Peacock. And I was looking at just like the team trends for the Angels. And, you know, we talked about like, why is Jose Soriano throwing this four-seam fastball so much more this year? It's not a really good pitch. Well, the Angels have the biggest decrease in pitches over the heart of the plate this year and the biggest increase in pitches in the chase and waste zone of any team in baseball. And I think a lot of that is also probably tied to the four-seam fastball usage.
Yeah.
I think like you're seeing him say, hey, Mike Maddox, the pitching coach, like, I know this four seam fastball might not be great. If you do a good job of keeping this out of the zone up, it's not going to hurt you. And the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to show it up and the hitter's going to take it and you're changing their eye level. You're giving them something else to look at and we can set something else up. And so in that first start, I like that Urania did a good job keeping the fastball up. And even though it's an empty velocity fastball, he wasn't really hurt on it in that first start, but that is predicated on, you need to locate that well. If you don't locate it well and you're throwing an empty velocity fastball at the letters, it's going to get crushed.
Oh man, I promise you guys, we are going to get through all these teams. Soriano, I don't trust he's going to have the four-seamer command that he's had so far.
Yes, we had to talk about some of the more waiver wire-y guys a little more. So like Seattle, not a lot to say. 3 at St. Louis, 3 at Minnesota, 3 next week home against the Royals. You kind of know these guys already.
I don't like Castillo, guys, yes, but you do you.
Yeah, I think we're out on that. The Rangers, we get 3 home against the Athletics this weekend, 3 home against the Yankees, 3 at the Tigers. Are you still relatively out on Kumar Rocker?
Oh my gosh, yes, please. My comp is Germán Márquez, so please, let's not do this.
Jack Leiter, 2-step, it's Yankees and Tigers. Are you in or out?
Out, hipster. Headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. It's good. The stuff is great, but he can't command it. It is so frustrating. Yeah. No, thank you. And yeah, Mackenzie Gore against the Tigers and home against Athletics. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Moving on to the NL. Starting with the Braves, 3 home against the Phillies, 3 home against the Tigers, 3 at Colorado. So the Reynaldo Lopez 2-start next week is home against the Tigers at Coors. We talked about how he was due for regression. He got hit hard. The key here is right now, Saturday at Coors is potentially Spencer Strider, who looked really good in his AAA Gwinnett rehab start. And so that makes it hard to know what to do with J.R. Richie and your waiver wire leagues this weekend. What did you think of J.R. Richie? And are you willing to try to add him places, even though we don't know if he's sticking?
Right. So Atlanta has that day off next week, so they can go 4-man until Strider. And that's what Roster Resource is saying. That's AKA RotoWire. J.R. Richie is a command-focused guy who allowed a home run on his first pitch to Wood and then was amazing 7 innings, 1 run after. But I don't love it all. I don't love trusting a command-focused guy, especially right-handed with just a changeup for the most part. The fastballs are at 94 and change, and they're not good. The cutter at 91, 92 is all right. I'm always going to be cool with that. You have a poor 84, 85 slider. And then a curveball that can be good, but he threw it for a few strikes. Same thing with a four-seamer off, 42% strikes. It's so wild for J.R. Richie. I think he overperformed in this case, and I would be a little cautious of it. I don't know if he's even going to get another start. D.D. Fuentes, super exciting. 7 Ks, 3 innings, awesome. And all he has is a four-seamer and a slider. And I do like it's still so frustrating to see that he threw 1 slider on 16 pitches to right-handers.
Yeah,
and it's just, it's a little more chaotic than I want it to be in this way. Yeah. I think there is more of an upside with him than J.R. Richie, but there is a safer floor, I think, with Richie.
Yeah.
So I don't know when they're going to get their opportunities. I'm not running to the wire stashing them.
Fuentes started to use the splitter a little bit more in this outing, and so I just like that as an idea.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, as an idea. And then I'll just say for J.R. Richie, I said this on Twitter, I love that, like, first MLB pitch, hit for a home run, he kind of like smiles as James Wood is rounding the bases. And I just like, I understand that that's not, people are like, oh, what is your, how are you evaluating demeanor? But like, I think it does matter when it shows a young pitcher is not going to be phased by the moment or impacted by the moment. And those kind of things I think do matter in terms of like, you know, he's going to make pitches when he needs to make pitches. He doesn't seem bothered by the moment.
Just so you guys know, Strider had an 84, 85 mile per hour slider. Not super excited by that. 96.
Right. Fastball, I believe, was 96, 97.
Fastball sat at 96. It was 96 in the first, 95, 96. Third was at 97, but then it was 95.6, 95.2.
Yeah. I would not start Strider in Colorado right off the IL. Personally, I wouldn't do it.
I'm not going to buy that this is all of a sudden Spencer Strider has fixed his fastball and everything.
The Marlins, 3 at the Giants this weekend, 3 at the Dodgers next week, and then 3 home against the Phillies. So, yes, Chris Paddock has a 2-start next week. I would not do that at the Dodgers and the Phillies. Are you starting Max Meyer at the Giants this weekend?
Yes, that is an easy one. Very easy. Just throw your 2 breaking balls. That'll be great.
Sure. And I think Meyer becomes potentially interesting even at the Phillies next week if he looks good at the Giants. Like I
potentially,
think
I probably wouldn't trust it. I just wouldn't trust it.
I know the Phillies are really slumping right now, but at some point,
yeah, they have what lost 8 games, 9 games, 8 in a row.
Yeah,
wow.
The Mets, 3 at home against the Rockies, 3 at home against the Nationals, 3 on the road against the Angels. Maybe the Mets get going here. Kodai Senga home against the Rockies this weekend. Can you do it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Can you dig it? It's only been 2 bad starts, guys, and it's the rocky road. And I think he's not going to be this bad. Also, David Peterson's going on Tuesday, and that was Christian Scott. Christian Scott was so bad that now it's back to David Peterson, who came in relief yesterday and would have gotten his first win of the season. The Mets didn't Mets.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if that's going to be Peterson still. If Christian Scott, I haven't seen if he's been demoted yet. I haven't seen anything.
As of now, he has not been. There's been no
right. Move. So they might give him another shot. It might not be Peterson. It might be Christian Scott again. And don't rule that out because that was just a lot of jitters for him. Yeah. I would not be starting David Peterson in a 2-step though.
And that does impact the 2-start. And Clay Holmes, man, fire him up all the time. I know there's not a ton of strikeouts right now, but he looks really good. And if you just need ratios, and again, it's against the Nationals next week. So there's a chance of a win too. I just think Clay Holmes is pitching really well. And if you just need some solid ratios and innings, like in a quality starts league, he's doing really well right now.
Yeah, so Clay Holmes, it might actually be reversed here, by the way, guys, because David Peterson went yesterday. Oh, no, Clay Holmes is going today, the Adobe. I'm being really dumb. Right? No, Clay Holmes, no. Yesterday, David Peterson appeared, and Clay Holmes went on Wednesday, correct?
Clay Holmes went on Wednesday.
Right, so then Clay Holmes would actually probably be going
he
Tuesday.
He should go. So Clay Holmes would get the 2-start.
Yeah, he would get it instead of...
And if Clay Holmes gets the 2-start against the Nationals...
Yeah, you're doing that.
I really like that.
Yeah. You're doing that. And then Clay Holmes is a sinker-focused guy, though. Like, he's throwing like 70% sinkers or something stupid. More drop than expected and all that kind of stuff. Great. Against lefties, it might be... It is not as safe of a ratio play, in my view, because that could be a very high whip.
Agreed. The Phillies, 3 at the Braves this weekend, 3 home against the Giants next week, 3 at Miami next week. The big one here, Zach Wheeler comes back on Saturday. I know you have him as an auto start.
Oh, I shouldn't. No.
Yeah. I was going to say, I am not starting Zach Wheeler. No.
That is a still ill, guys.
Okay. Yeah. He. What's important to note, he did not look good on his rehab starts. I know we're pulling for him. We hope we're going to get good Zach Wheeler. I'm not telling you you're not going to get good Zach Wheeler this season. I'm just telling you that he has not looked good on his rehab starts. The velocity is not there. He's getting hit hard. I cannot start him without seeing him pitch in a major league game first. And then maybe I'll start him next week at Miami, but I can't do it for the Braves one.
Yep.
Washington, 3 at the White Sox this weekend, 3 at the Mets next week, and then 3 home against the Brewers. The only one I'm really kind of questionable here, I'm curious about your thoughts on Foster Griffin at the White Sox this weekend and then home against Milwaukee next week. Are you in on Foster Griffin at all?
Foster Griffin is very interesting. I'm going to tell you all about him after this break. Foster Griffin, I'm in against the White Sox. I think I got a question on Twitch today, like, okay, they think he's a safe guy to roll the rest of the year. I'm like, no. Foster Griffin is not that. He's a Toby. He's an absolute Toby. That is someone who you just really like for the streams, but you don't feel like you have to hold on to. White Sox, sure, awesome. Milwaukee, maybe they're still a little bit banged up. Maybe it's all right, but I don't feel like I need to go for that. He's okay. It's not something that I'm really running to the wire for.
I get that. Moving to the NL Central, the Cubs get 3 at the Dodgers. They get 3 next week at the Padres and then 3 home against the Diamondbacks. Looks like it's Matthew Boyd with the 2-start next week at the Padres and home against the Diamondbacks. I'm okay with that. I don't love it, but I think Boyd is good enough when he's on to do that. Jameson Taillon and Colin Ray are the only two fringe guys here, and I'm not particularly interested.
Yeah, so Ever Cabrera is throwing sinkers over 4-seamers again, Eric.
That's nice. I know.
It is. Oh, it is beautiful. And he threw so many strikes with it yesterday. He was having such a good game through six. And then the seventh was, oh my gosh.
But also, kudos, the wind was howling out at Wrigley. And good so a point. Lot of people sat him yesterday and just like, and that's another thing. Please, Chicago Cubs, the sinker focus yesterday. Please don't make that only be because the wind was blowing out and you wanted something that was more of a sinker than four seamer.
That's funny. Like,
please make that a regular approach going forward.
Oh, I didn't think of that's why they did it. With Matthew Boyd, I have him right now as a questionable, but I'm going to have him as a probable because I think Matthew Boyd's great. And he looked good after coming back from the IL. Like he had 20 whiffs and two straight starts. And then he had 12 and is still ill. And like, yeah, we're good. With James and Tyone, I'm with you. You can't do it. Colin Ray is a streamer-ish option. It's the Diamondbacks next week. Fine, but not against the Dodgers, of course.
Yep. The Cincinnati Reds, 3 home against the Tigers, 3 home against the Rockies next week, and 3 at Pittsburgh. So a decent setup. Chase Burns gets the 2 start next week. Obviously, you're doing that. We think that Nick Lodolo is coming back. We don't know if Nick Lodolo is coming back. That does impact the Rhett Lauder aspect of this rotation. Or sorry, the Brandon Williamson aspect of this rotation. So keep an eye on that. Where are you at with Andrew Abbott just in general? Because home against the Tigers, home against the Rockies, the next two should be okay. The Tigers have not been good against lefties, but Abbott has also not been good.
Yeah, I had him as a probable. That's an old one. You can't right now. You just got to kind of wait and see and hope that he's
going. Rocky Road, yes.
And Rocky Road, I'm in, but it's more so. But against the Tigers, I'm like, I just got to see something good. It's been a while. I think he's just been out of rhythm. He gets Framber Valdez on the opposite side today, which should be fun.
Yeah.
I hope he's all right. I think it's been something where he hasn't gotten into his rhythm. We've seen him go up and down before, but I know that this isn't totally what he is.
Sure.
And he should be better in the future.
Brady Singer, Rhett Lauder at Pittsburgh next week. Are you in? You heard it here. if you need to in like a 15 team league, I understand. Yeah.
Fine against the Pirates, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to add them to your waterfall of bids this weekend, I understand that. I wouldn't like run out to get them, obviously. Mm-hmm. The Brewers, 3 home against the Pirates this weekend, 3 home against the Diamondbacks next week, and then 3 at Washington. How did you feel about seeing Kyle Harrison back on the mound again? Because Pittsburgh on Sunday, Washington next Saturday seems pretty decent for Kyle Harrison.
Yeah, I'm in on that. That seems fine to me. I think Kyle Harrison didn't really have his secondaries as much, but the four-seamer still felt good. And just get the still out of the way, and we should be fine after that.
What about Brandon Sprout? Not a great start, not an awful start. I don't know Sprout? How Riley Green hit that pitch
Sprout?
Out.
Sprout? There's no, that's an A.
Whatever.
Sprout. I don't know why I'm doing this to you, Eric. I've said so many poor names. Brandon Sprout, he's only had 2 bad games, and they're the first 2, and everything else has been a step forward in my view. He allowed a home run off of Riley Green curveball threw a curveball that was really nice 0-0 to Riley Green.
I don't know how he hit it out. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was wild. And then he walked. He didn't allow a run on his watch. He got the first out of the 6th, walked a batter, got removed, and that guy came around to score. That's all of his 3 earned runs. Like, he's pitching really well. Yeah. So I'm still in on Sprout. I know it seems like, oh, you're just addicted. I'm like, I'm not. Do you guys see what I see? I see a very good pitcher. So I'm still in.
Yep. I hear you. I get it. I'm in a 12-team league. I'm being a little more cautious. You know, I don't love the Arizona start. I don't hate it. I think it gets at St. Louis the next week. And so, like, I'm okay holding. But if you needed to get, like, Peyton Tolley or Connor Prelip or somebody like that, I'm okay making that.
Yeah, I get that, too. Totally.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, 3 at Milwaukee this weekend. 4 against St. Louis next week. And then 3 against Cincinnati at home. So Braxton Ashcraft and Bubba Chandler are set to get a 2 start. Just curious, Bubba Chandler, poor last outing. You're still in, and you're in enough that you're definitely going to start him on a 2 start week.
Yeah, I think Bubba Chandler, I wrote about him this morning, the Chandler ding, which is a wonderful pun. Thank you for millennials understanding things. And I'd say Bubba Chandler is much better than we've seen, and yet it is so frustrating. And I watched them yesterday, and that was just, you are lost, man. So I see this St. Louis start, and I'm like, I want to start him, but I can't recommend him. And so I'm going to be moving him down to questionable start, and Bubba Chandler against the Reds carpet. Like, I have to.
Yeah. Is that where you're at with Carmen Wodzinski too? Reds carpet. You got to roll it out.
I feel like, I mean, that one I'm not as confident in, because Wodzinski is weird. He's weird. He's not really overwhelming, guys.
Yeah.
So I have him. I'm going to have him actually as a questionable, not a probable there, I think. Okay. But I really, with Bubba Chandler, he's a really good buy low in my view right now.
Okay. Good to know. The Cardinals, 3 home against Seattle for this weekend, 4 at Pittsburgh next week, 3 home against the Dodgers. Dustin May has a 2-start week next week. It's at Pittsburgh, but it's home against the Dodgers. Can you roll the dice there?
Okay, so I do want to mention Dustin May, obviously you can't whatsoever against the Dodgers. So that's what you're talking about there, because yeah. No way. I love what he's doing. Like, it's great. He's throwing harder and he's getting more into his arsenal a bit against lefties than he's going to do against righties. Hunter Dobbins against Pittsburgh might return. And that's interesting. I'm not saying I want that. I'm just paying attention to that because Hunter Dobbins might be the best guy in this rotation. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
He's rehabbing from a torn ACL. The rehab starts have been mostly pretty good. I believe I just looked it up. 3.86 ERA in AAA, 16 walks to 4 strikeouts and 18 2/3 innings. You know, Hunter Dobbins is a streamer for me, but somebody who, like, I would stream against Pittsburgh. I don't love that it's right off the IL.
Right.
But I get it. So
I can't do that either off the IL. No. It's still ill, but
in like a 15 team league, I think Dobbins is going to be interesting for you. And I think in a 12 team league, you're going to play your matchups with him as a streamer. Moving to the last division, the NL West, the Diamondbacks, they have 2 this weekend against the Padres. It's in Mexico. I would prefer to not start either of these guys. That is a launching pad. Next week they get 3 at Milwaukee and 3 at the Cubs. Those are not great matchups and parks. Merrill Kelly is a 2-start. Eduardo Rodriguez, I think you're kind of like, you were riding the hot streak with him. I think I'm done riding that hot streak. I don't know if you have any Diamondbacks thoughts.
I mean, Ryan Nelson is better than the 8-run ridiculousness.
But he gets the Padres in Mexico.
Right. You really can't, but I can see it still working out, but you can't. And then he gets the Cubs after, which isn't fair. So you're going to see these 2 terrible outings in all likelihood. You're going to think, how could you possibly have him as a probable start at Wrigley? Because Wrigley is a good place to pitch in May. And I think Ryan Nelson's a really good pitcher. So there's your answer.
That is your answer. Take that to the bank. Colorado. Listen, we don't usually, they have 3 at the Mets. They have 3 at the Reds. They have 3 home against the Braves. We don't usually talk about Rockies pitchers. I do want to talk about Chase Dolander.
Oh yeah, that is.
And I also want to talk about how Roster Resource has him leaving the rotation with Kyle Freeland coming, or Jose Quintana coming back. Kyle Freeland coming back. Who do they have him?
Oh, Freeland.
Freeland coming back. I can't see it. I don't see how you would remove Chase Dolander from the rotation.
Well, okay. Never celebrate injury, but conveniently, Ryan Feltner was removed yesterday with tricep soreness.
Fair. Yes.
So in all likelihood, that's where that comes in. And Chase Dolander gets the Mets this weekend. He'll go into Houston at some point, I think it is. Or maybe he just had that. But
I think he would be home at home against Atlanta next week, which is not ideal.
Not ideal. Chase Dolander in this start, though, for the Mets, my gosh, he's pitching so well.
So well.
And I might hold. This might be the first time I'm in on a Rockies pitcher.
Yeah.
I might. It depends on how well he pitches on Sunday, but like, he's killing it. 99, not 98. Upstairs, good command with it. Stuff is doing what he wants. Like, it's
He also really made the slider more of a gyro this year, which I think is better for Coors. Like, I think that movement profile is better for Coors.
It's cool.
He's a very good pitcher. He was, I believe, the fourth overall pick.
Everyone loved him, but
he's very good. Like, it's not a surprise.
He just got cursed to pitch in Colorado.
Yeah. But yes, I'm in on him for sure. Sunday against the Mets, I would fire him. The Dodgers, 3 against the Cubs this weekend, 3 against the Marlins next week, and then 3 at the Cardinals. They have a 6-man rotation, so nobody gets a 2-start. But Justin Robleski, home against the Cubs this weekend, and then at St. Louis next week. I know the strikeouts haven't been there. The swinging strike rate, the K rate, it's really down. And so I know that we are not, I think you and I are both not as excited as we were in spring when we were like, hey, he's going to get a shot in this rotation. But I think he's pitching well enough that, like, especially at St. Louis, I'm happy to use him. Home against the Cubs, I still think I would, because even though the strikeouts aren't there, he's pitching well enough that he's going deep into games. He has a really good shot at wins on that team. He's providing you solid ratios. So, like, I get it. It's not the most exciting thing in the world without strikeouts, but I don't think it's terrible.
Okay, Justin Robleski, he has a 10% put-away rate, so that should improve. But he's not getting to 2 strikes with the guys. He only has a 6% swing strike rate. And what's happening is that he's getting all these balls in play. And it's working. I'm, like, really happy about it, that he's getting more weak contact than hard contact, right? And there's no way he has a 6 hit per 9 with so many balls in play. There's no way. And the thing is, I got excited because I thought he'd be throwing harder. I thought that he'd be doing more with his curveball, sinker, changeup, cutter. Like, no, it's just been 4-seamer slider, and I don't love them this much. It feels like we're cheating, Eric. You know, we got the right answer with the wrong equation. Like, it's we were like, oh, Justin Robleski is gonna be great, you know, and then he's got a 1.88 ERA and 0.88 WHIP and through 4 games, and we're goes, oh my gosh, yeah, you got it. No, I'm like, oh, did I? Oh, okay, great. It's scary at the moment because it's not overwhelming, and yeah. I hope he does more with it. I hope we see the changeup show up more. I hope the curveball returns. I hope there's the cutter that comes in. The sinker's more thrown to lefties. It's so on and so forth. Velocity is better than what we're seeing right now at 93.8. Like, no, this is supposed to be a 95, 96 guy. Sometimes even we saw 97 last year. And it's all just a little annoying. So yeah. I hope we get more. I would say against St. Louis, right, probable start, questionable against the Cubs. That could go very poorly.
Yeah, I would try to hold him this weekend because of that Cardinal start rather than move on. Mm. The Padres have those 2 games at Arizona, but it's at Mexico this weekend. And then they have 3 home against the Cubs, 3 home against the White Sox. Randy Vasquez has the 2 start next week. It's Cubs and White Sox. I am okay doing that because I think Vasquez has been good enough. I think the White Sox start to round it out is decent. My question for you, the Padres signed Lucas Giolito. At the time they signed him, which was Wednesday, he had only 25 days before he had to be on the major league roster. So that is May 17th. Lucas Giolito has to be on the major league roster. We are 3 weeks away from basically Lucas Giolito on the Padres. Is he a pitcher that you would try to stash ahead of that, knowing that he has to be up, or are you?
No. I mean, I will tell you this. The interview that we saw from him like a week or two ago was like, I'm pitching as if I'm starting every 5 days right now.
Yeah.
So, like, he is more, it's not like he's been twiddling his thumbs.
Right.
He claims, like, he's ready. I think I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Matt Waldron gets replaced on Wednesday.
Or Walker Buehler was not good in his last start either.
Right. I mean, he should show up instantly. And the thing is, the Padres are, like, what are they, 17-8 right now? 16, something ridiculous. Like, they are leading the West with the Dodgers.
They're 16-8 tied with the Dodgers.
16-8. You tie with the Dodgers. Amazing. So, yeah, they got to hold on to that as much as they can. They can't take any chances here. I wouldn't be surprised if Giolito's up quickly. I'm not going to be excited about it until I see it. Sure. We had the elbow injury last year. I remember being really excited about Giolito's big thing last year. And he became more of the guy that I wanted him to be. But he never really did take advantage, or at least wrangle all of the upside that he flexed. It would be this fastball's here, but the changeup isn't today, or the slider's like this. Oh no, he loses extension now. It was always something off, and I wouldn't have full faith in Giolito right away. But remember, Giolito is like a Toby with slightly better strikeout upside. Like, he's a low-end Holly is what you're chasing, which might ultimately be like in the 60s of the list or something like that. Does not mean that I expect that to happen. Doesn't mean that he's going to be that right away. So I'm curious to see what we get when he does arrive.
Rounding it out with the Giants, they get three home against the Marlins this weekend. Next week, three at the Phillies, three at Tampa Bay. It's Tyler Malley with a two start. Phillies, Rays. We got the right schedule for Landon Rupp because they made a change in the schedule. And so he gets the Marlins this weekend. Why are you shaking your head no?
Because it was Tyler Malley's.
I know.
I've been circling Sunday the 26th for a month.
But I'm excited. I have too many Landon Rupp shares, so I was happy about it. And he looked good against the Dodgers. And
Rupp.
He gets home against the Marlins and then at Tampa Bay. Like, I'm firing it up everywhere, wherever I can.
I don't know why I'm correcting you so much today with this. Like, this
I'm happy to do it.
I think of it as the group chat is the group chat is the roundup I did with him. So that helps me. Adrian Houser against the Marlins is not so bad today on Friday. And it's too bad that he's going to get the Phillies and the Padres after this. Tyler Malley, here's the thing. Last two starts have not been things you've wanted to go for. We've been waiting, twiddling our thumbs, but he showcased velocity in the previous one. And then he showed it again versus the Dodgers over 93. And wait, you remember Tyler Malley was like 92, maybe 91 before, and we were hoping to see that back. He's here now. So I'm in. You grab him for the Phillies. You grab him for this two-step against the Rays. This is finally the time to get Malley because we know he's better than this. Mm-hmm. And here it is. Here's the time he's actually going to get these starts. I mean, after that's going to be Pittsburgh, right? And then he's going to have to look at the Dodgers again. Fine. We skip that one on May 14th. We'll figure that out later. All right? It's going to be fun.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Yeah. But we got here to the finish line. We got here to the finish line. Thanks for joining us all the way through. Again, reach out to us, ask us any questions if you have them. Hopefully that this will help you with your waiver wire decisions, your starting pitcher decisions. Everybody enjoy a beautiful weekend. I am Eric Smolsky, Pelican.
I'm Nick Pollock, the Lion.
And Nick's going to go have some lunch right now.
Yes.